Well, a very good evening to you, and thanks for taking the time to tune in to us on Terrace Talks. Well, I'm Barry with you until 8 o'clock this evening, and we look back, I suppose, some of the stories of last weekend, and maybe take a look at some of the stories that need a small bit of telling as well. Now, tonight's show, it's a very busy one, so bear with us. We have 4 live races on Killarney as well, so we'll be checking in and back with Pat Griffin on a regular basis. We'll also have a check-up, of course, with our hurling panel on Saturday's Joe McDonough Cup exit for the Kerry Hurlers. Kerry Minor Footballers, they lost out to Cork as well last Thursday, so Liam Brosnan will join us for a quick check about that. Rathmore LGFA, they're looking for your help to win 5,000 for their club, and all that in the first hour as well. It's going to be a very, very fast first hour, I'd say. And then in the second hour, of course, we're going to change. Remember our friends from Kerry Women's Rugby team? Well, we had them in and they were hoping to win the Munster Divisional Championship. Well, believe it or not, they've actually won it, and they're going to bring the cup back in here at 7 o'clock. And we're going to check in as well with a club out there in East Kerry, Ballyhar Dynamo. They're running a special programme to get more women into soccer and taking the social approach. So all that in the back end of the second hour. Now, let's speed on fairly nicely. It was, of course, a season of, I suppose, ups and downs, I suppose, for the Kerry Hurlers. Maybe probably a few more downs than ups, maybe, I suppose, at the end of the season. Kerry, of course, exiting to Laois by 14 points, I suppose. It looks emphatic, actually, when you look at it on paper. Very competitive, of course, in the first half. But, of course, it was all in vain, really, even for Laois as well, because Carlo and Offaly were playing out their own part of the play on the other side of the game. And, of course, Carlo won that quite easily. James McCarthy joins us now, as well as those Richard. James, we should have just listened to you a month ago, and we wouldn't need to be talking at all about tonight. A month ago, you said Carlo were going to ruin absolutely everything, and they managed to do just that. But before we focus on Carlo, the game itself on Saturday, I suppose it had one of those kind of end of season friendly approach to the very end of the game, I suppose, particularly the way Laois kind of ran and Kerry ran their bench and the whole lot. It just looked like it was just all going away from us, and even the game itself didn't really live up to any high billing either, James.
No, first half very good, very good first half, very good game, very, very positive from Kerry. But the second half, I don't know what happened. Maybe you think maybe all it was their news came through with the scoreline of between Carlo and Laois, but it really Laois is on Carlo, and off the Laois is left town. They went to town, this really, we kind of sat back, and you know, we kind of took it, not took it as such, like, but with no answers. And then, you know, coming out from the back last night, I was thinking, and I felt sorry for Laois. The quality of the hurling they played was exceptional. I felt sorry for him. But I suppose you look at the two teams left in the final, one of them is actually unbeaten, and that's Carlo. So you can't, nobody's taking any away from Carlo. Carlo's the only unbeaten team in this whole group. Even Gavinoff, they're still there, let's say, the top team in the group, because they're unbeaten. They're 2 draws and 3 wins, like, so can't take that away from them. So, are they the best teams in the final? Looking at the score and fixtures and the results, yes, they are. And obviously, the same. So, Laois and Kerry did have no complaints. But as for the game itself, Kerry played good in snatches. But then, when you could see the difference in Division 1B hurling and Division 2A straight away in the second half, it was a goal. It was huge.
Richard, I suppose it's the story of the championship for Kerry at Joe McDonagh. Played well in patches, played very well in patches, but just not enough in enough games to kind of gather results. Again, as James said, something very positive in the first half, and even on the couple of occasions when Laois got the goal and kind of pulled away, Kerry kind of got themselves back into it again. A couple of goals in the second half, of course, kind of blew it out of proportion. Overall, your assessment of the season, disappointing, I would imagine, but yet there was plenty kind of good moments in it as well.
Yeah, unfortunately I didn't make the game because we were laying a former chairperson of Ballyhigh GA, John Drury, to rest. He was an inter-county umpire as well, so condolences to his family yesterday. Disappointing, I suppose. I was more disappointed with the league. We may have discussed it a number of weeks ago. I felt that we had a great opportunity to win the league. I think we left that after us, especially the semi-final against Offaly with all the wides. So I was more disappointed with the league. But with regard to the Joe McDonagh, I look at the end of the day, I think that, you know, the game over in Offaly, I suppose that was it really. Do you know what I mean? Our performance was not good enough against Offaly. So disappointed, of course. You know, we made 3 finals, and we were hoping to make a 4th, but you know, we just didn't deliver. And I suppose our shooting, I suppose the number of wides, really, causes a lot of trouble as well. And you know, we had the opportunities in games, but we didn't convert them. But it was a strange Joe McDonough because of the start. Everyone was saying that to be Leash coming down from the Liam McCarthy, they would be the big guys, and nobody would have predicted that Kildare would go down either. Mm-hmm. So it was a strange Joe McDonough. But at the end of the day, look, the two best teams are in the final now. I think we have no complaints whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. Picking up on that point, James, I suppose, maybe we'll just look on Kildare, I suppose, you know, particularly the league. I mean, looking at them, the way they set off 100 miles an hour in the league and the way they ended up in the championship, it does prove that league hurling and championship hurling are totally different.
It does, doesn't it, really? And you wonder what's happened in Kildare. Maybe what's told in the last month since that league final. There was just like a little team that kind of just stopped playing, and that was it. So God, we didn't make the reason one that was in me. Was that the whole target for a year? It's a strange one. Very, very strange. But anyway, we have to look at Leash and, I'm sorry, Offaly and Carroll. I'd be very careful Offaly Whisper, because Offaly did that on purpose. They made 12 changes. They said, right, we don't want Leash in that final. We don't want Kerry in that final. We want to play Carroll again. You want to be very careful what you wish for. They will just come against the Carroll team now, they mix them up whenever it's on. No, it's on this weekend, he's on this weekend, he's on this weekend, it's Saturday or Sunday, whenever it's on, anyway.
Yeah.
They will face that Carroll team again. And I guarantee you, you're a Carroll beating Leash, or Carroll beating Offaly the last couple of years. They beat them last year, it was a favour to put us in the job at the final. So, Carroll, no fear at all of Offaly. And I'm sure Offaly will be very careful in that final. They've been the best team. Into the league and into the championship, but that's a very
good one. Mm-hmm. Richard, the way the tournament plays out, obviously the top two qualify for the final, but a team kind of knowing and having the power to pick literally who their opponents are in the final, that's quite dangerous, I'd imagine. Would there be a merit in kind of saying maybe like the league itself, you know, the first team goes to the final and then second and third might have to play each other in kind of a Joe McDonough semi-final or something, kind of just to keep it a bit clearer? Because I mean, I know on social media today, and a lot of people, and particularly a lot of Leash people, probably a bit angst and sore about it, but I mean the reality is they didn't have enough points at the end of it to get the top two. But Offaly, of course, will say, look, they were in it, they had players to run, they had their panel players to play out and the whole lot. But it does kind of spoil it a small bit at the end that one team kind of really gets a say in who their opponents are.
And I don't agree, though. I think that, look, Offaly qualified, they topped the table, and they were never going to risk the big players last Saturday. And I don't think Leash can complain. You know, at the end of the day, neither Kerry nor Leash got enough points to get to the final, and we need to stop our complaining about that now, because, you know, Offaly were never going to risk the big boys last Saturday against Carlow. And Carlow were going to be all out to win that game. And it's as simple as that. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, we didn't have enough points, and Leash, I don't think Leash can complain about it, because Offaly, if I were Offaly, I would have done the same thing. I would have rested players and you know, ensured that I had no injuries going into the final. I mean, it would have been a foolish thing to have risked any good players in a game that you did not have to win last Saturday. And I think Offaly were cagey and they played their cards right. And you know, we're looking forward to a good final now.
Mm-hmm. The final itself, before we finish up in the Joe McDonough, have Carlow a chance of winning it, Richard?
Oh, it'll be very, very close. They have, of course, a chance of winning it. I think maybe it's going to be a difficult one to call. I think maybe Offaly will shade it, but it's going to be a very close game.
Mm-hmm. In a quick word, James, before we just finish the Joe McDonough, we'll chat a bit about hurling after this. But Offaly or Carlow?
Look, we'll give the Carlow a twist. I've been giving them this all year, and this is the Carlow. Because they're diehard to Joe Hart, like with our own guys in Carlow. We're so similar in our makeup of the hurling teams, and just all the way we're always dashing there to get up to the top. So I'm giving the Carlow boys a twist, and hopefully we can get a slow.
Fair play. Spoken like a bookie. Guys, will you stay online for 1 minute, because I want to run straight across to Killarney and get a show betting with Pat Griffin, and we'll back straight back to you in 1 minute.
Live coverage of the Killarney races is brought to you in association with MD O'Shea's Killarney, Kerry's local favourite for all your DIY and building needs. mdoshea.ie.
The MD O'Shea and Sons handicap hurdle of 16,500. 16 runners got a post here, two absentees. Number 2, Mighty Tom, which won here yesterday in a common hack. And number 7, Port Stanley, because of the going change. The two reserves get in, that's number 17 and 18, that's Winding River and Prince Zelter, and it's a wide open betting race as you would expect. It's 5-1 the field, 5-1 Flying Scotsman along with a gradual slope, some support for that from sixes for Sean O'Brien there from Killala in Kilworth in County Cork. Vice Regent has attracted some support as well from 8s into 11-2. The Big Chap is on 13-2 along with Prince Zelter. On a 12-1 Winding River along with Tempo Charter 2, that's on 14s. 16-1 Gary Bello, an optional mix. 18-1 Jerry Dalmeel, and it's 20-1 in both of the other runners. But topping the market here, wide open handicap here with Flying Scotsman and the gradual slope, your 5-1 joint favourites. Then it's 6-1 from its Vice Regent, a move for that, and the Big Chap also on 6-1. But 5-1 joint favourites for the 625 are the 625 here. In fact, the Flying Scotsman and the gradual slope, 5-1 joint favourites.
Live coverage of the Killarney races is brought to you in association with MD O'Shea's Killarney, Kerry's local favourite for all your DIY and building needs. mdoshea.ie.
Fair play, welcome back there from the Killarney races. Of course, Pat Griffin, he's going to be along in 6:25. You can follow that race. Of course, we're continuing our hurling chat. Of course, Kerry exited the Joe McDonagh, losing to Laois 4:23-21 points, and it's of course Offaly and Carlo in the final. Richard, of course, finishing up a tournament. Of course, a lot of people asking questions. Of course, for, you know, the future and future for players and the future for management and the whole lot. It's probably far too soon to even be talking about these questions, is there?
Well, first of all, I think that Mikey Boyle and Sean Beans Weir have announced their retirement, and we wish them well. They have been great servants to Kerry Hurling. To be the early to be talking about changes and other retirements. I mean, the one thing I suppose is that we have some good under-20s coming through, and that is very positive. And I think it was a good idea for Kerry to go into Leinster this year rather than being in the B Championship. I don't think there was that much development, with all due respect to the B Championship, but I think being in the Tier 2 of Leinster this year brought a lot of those lads on, and I think that was very, very positive. But I suppose going forward, I suppose I would like to see more flowing hurling. I think maybe this year we were a bit conservative at times, a bit cagey. I suppose the same accusation sometimes is made about our footballers, you know, when David Kifford and Tony Brosnan started calling for the ball and we're kicking the ball back and forth across the field, you know, across midfield. So I think it's similar to our hurlers. I think this year we could have let the game flow a bit more, get quick ball into the forwards. So I would have liked to have seen a lot more of that, and I suppose rather than having lads shooting from outfield. But look, we are where we are, and as I say, I hope we see a few of the under-20s coming through, and you know, all we can do is hope that they do, and that we pick ourselves up next year. That's what I hope we do.
Mm-hmm. It's the story of Kerry Hurling, really, James, and we'll pick ourselves up again next year, and we'll head on and do the best. And in fairness to the boys that put on the jerseys this year, I mean, every game they know, they've certainly done their best, and they always do, and there's nobody kind of calling that into question. The reality, though, James, is that we're probably not at the level that we feel like we can be, or are we where we are, and that's where we should be.
I think it's that connect club is over. The level in the county of the club is not good enough, and you cannot pretend to be above Joe McDonagh or Division 1B when your level in your club is not good enough. It all comes back to that. We have to start pushing our clubs on more, and then getting the best players in. Then the level of every player within the county becomes better. Because, and you can see that it has to come into the teams. It has to come into a Kerry County team. That we're stuck now. We're stuck with 3 or 4 years stuck in this position now. And if is it going to get better next year? I don't know. Is it going to be more of the same? It could be. It has to come back down to your clubs again. And really, what we're doing in our clubs, what we're doing in our championship and our champion structure. If you look at it, we finished our championship in Kerry in probably 1st of August. There is no hurling name in the clubs till next February, March. Mm-hmm. That's too long. It's way too long. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's terrible. Like, you have a Kerry hurling team, you could have a Kerry senior hurler maybe not touching a ball from the end of August until they get back in, pre-season, maybe in November, December. 4 months, 5 months, they're doing nothing.
It's a long gap, yeah.
That can't develop your team. You can't develop a team doing that. And like, for the best will in the world, Stephen Lumpy, even if he's still there, whatever, he's trying to develop a team. No team is even back at that stage. No team even wants to do anything at that stage. All the top teams they all have their clubs involved in maybe Munster Club Championship, maybe Leinster Club Championship. We're not. We're done. We're done by the 1st of August. It's a bad system. Terrible. It doesn't help our hurling teams.
Yeah, a couple of comments coming in the 906-671-23666, or you can text us there at 083-300-3300. Hi Donald, tough luck to the Kerry hurlers. They did their best all year. Very proud of each and every player and indeed the management. Also in the game on Saturday, there were three off the ball incidents on Kerry players. No linesman, no umpire saw anything. Should there not be four linesmen altogether, two at each end of the field? It's only a matter of time before a serious injury will occur. This is very important now as we enter the championship season for club hurling. More linesmen on the field. Of course, that is a point, Richard. I mean, the game of hurling moves a hell of a lot quicker than a game of football at times, and I suppose it is probably a little bit difficult. Do we need more people on the sideline officiating?
Oh, well, I think so. We've discussed that before. But to go back to James's point with regard to the club scene, I think we certainly at club level have to be more competitive. I remember when I was growing up and I was living in Causeway. Causeway were competitive that time at senior level in Munster, and even in Ballyhigh we were competitive, and others, you know, Ballyluffin and Brendan's, they were all competitive at senior level, senior club level in Munster, and now we're at intermediate level. So certainly I think the standard of our club hurling, as James says, has to go up in order to ensure that we have a stronger county team. But I think, yeah, look, officiating is a difficult job, and I think that my belief, and as I say, on Saturday we laid a great umpire to rest, John Curry, in which I started to talk with him about umpiring. I would like to see umpires, I suppose, and all the officials getting involved more and calling the attention of the referee to instance. So let's say there's a full back and a full forward, and they're doing a bit of wrestling inside. Do you know what I mean? That they would call the referee's attention and say, look, these two boys here, they're getting to know each other. Have a word with them, you know. So I think all officials, not just the ref, all officials have to work together and work with the referee.
Disappointing season overall for our hurlers. The playing style that was put in place did not suit the players that we have. I think that's something we kind of debated down a couple of shows as well. Hi Donal, the Kerry hurlers never seemed to get going at all this year. It never really clicked for them. Just got to regroup and go again next year. And of course we're going to cross the Rubicon now. Of course, so delighted to see Kerry FC get their first win. It'll be a great boost for them. I enjoyed Ivan's commentary on the final moment. I thought he was going to jump out of the radio. It was brilliant. That's Charles there from You Never Walk Alone. Yeah, fair play to Charles. You're still a bit to do yourselves, Charles, to get up to fourth place. So, but, you know, I wouldn't be jumping out of any place yet. James, I suppose everybody's going to be talking in the next week or so. Senior County Championship. It's the only show in town now for the hurling and the whole lot. The draw not made yet, of course, which kind of, you know, I suppose maybe builds it up a little bit more. You're not knowing who you're with or the whole lot. Nine teams again this year. Dr. Croke's inside the middle of them, trained by Aidan O'Mahony. Of course, he's going to bring that kind of show to town as well. Where's club hurling in Kerry, James?
Tell you the truth, Donal, you won't see anything different this year. You won't see anything different. You have the four top guys, and that'll be it. I'm not being cruel now. I'll call it as I see it, and that's exactly what it is. I don't see anyone beyond the powerful three or four that have been there the last 10 years. Nobody else is going to break that mold.
So you're on about what? Causeway, Kilmoyle, and Ballydough.
Yes, I'm totally into it. I think that's your four powerhouses. Anyone else wants to break up that mold, you've got to do something, because I don't see it at the minute.
There you go, Richard. No room at the top table for Ballyhaig.
We'll just have to force our way in, I suppose.
Or any table, according to James, maybe. seriously, let's look at Crokes for a second, and I know it's a question we kind of bounce out every year, Richard. I mean, we're trying to develop the game. They've got themselves up to senior level. They've performed admirably enough. They won a game the last night in the county league. Have they two games won now?
Three games won
in the county league. That's showing progress. I know the championship is different. I suppose we're talking about Kildare and the championship in the league, and there's a big gap. But they are showing signs that they're slowly kind of gathering a little bit of kind of moss, and they're in there on results now as well. What for them will be a good result this year, Richard?
Well, I think, you know, Crokes want to be competitive. The only thing I find about Crokes is maybe personnel may change now and again. Do you know what I mean? But look, I think Crokes don't need anybody to tell them what their bar is. They want to go in and they want to win. They want to win games, and you know, I wouldn't patronise them by saying, you know, a good performance will be good enough. I think Crokes want to go in. They've had a very, very good league. this year, and they'll want to take a scalp in the same way as Ballyhigh last year wanted to take a scalp as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important for the development of hurling that we have the likes of Crokes, and you know, we need to see Parnell's getting stronger as well. Do you know what I mean? I probably had greater hopes for Parnell's. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they had really, really good hurlers, and we really need to see Parnell's as well stepping up. And you know, the more guys we have, the more clubs we have taking part in the senior championship, the stronger Kerry hurling will be.
Absolutely. Well, listen, guys, we'll have to leave it there because we have live racing on as well over in Killarney. We will be back in a month's time, the two of you, and we will have a proper preview of the whole senior hurling county championship. We'll have the draw and everything made by then. And sure, we never know, we might put out a couple of extra tables there for the small teams there, James, as well. They can compete with you. But listen, guys, thanks very much for all you've done so far this year, particularly over the Joe McDonagh and the league as well. And we'll talk to you there in a couple of weeks' time. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, the Kerry Minor Hurlers, they were out against Cork, a couple of days ago now. It was amazing, all the games are merging into each other. Lost 2-12-14 points. Of course, Cork got their defence of their most title off to winning start, but all is not lost, as Kerry will still advance to the semi-final. Of course, the semi-final that they're playing on Thursday night in Newcastle West, and again, you can hear live here on Radio Kerry. Liam Brosson was actually at that game for us. Liam, you liked the old trip up to Páirc Uí Chaoimh?
Good evening, Donald. Yeah, it was a very entertaining night's entertainment. I'm here now in Corra waiting for a minor game as well, so it's never ending with this football, is it?
Jesus, you're busier than Jack O'Connor at the moment. are you looking for a minor job that you're hanging around there?
No, I wouldn't like the pressure that Jack has now, to be honest. Fair play to you.
Come here, Liam. I suppose in many ways it's the first game of a minor season. You don't really know how good or bad your minors are. You don't really know the players, and I suppose it's over a course of a run or a season that you get to know. But from listening to the game, Kerry got off to a very slow start. I mean, Cork were, what, 4 or 5 points up, and I was certainly thinking, my God, this is going to be all over fairly quickly. But Kerry fought back gamely into that game. Very slow start, though.
They did, and I suppose, look, this age group, since they changed the ages, it probably kind of made things a bit harder to judge, because it's more like, to be honest, Donald, and we spoke about this, it's more like kind of under 16 football than minor football. Mm-hmm. Now, with the mistakes that they're making, you know, they're very innocent mistakes. You have teams trying to set up systems and try to set up different ways of playing, but it doesn't work because they make the innocent mistakes. But it allows then for kind of very open and refreshing football as well. And that's what we got a bit of last day above in Cork. I was impressed with Cork, but yeah, Kerry got off a slow start, came back into it. It's hard to know which they'll probably meet each other again, hopefully, in a couple of weeks' time. So was there a bit of shadow boxing going on? But to be fair to them, both teams went out as selected, and so I was hearing that it was Kerry's strongest team, but I think Kerry will learn a lot more from this game than what Cork will. I think Kerry will they can see now what Cork bring to the table. Like, Cork had three probably best on show on the night, like their centre forward Dara Sheehy. He kicked 1-5. They're calling him the Cork Gooch
he got great reviews actually, yeah. And Sean Corkley inside as well.
And Sean Corkley inside, their wing back then, Trevor Kiley as well, played a pile of ball, did a lot of attacking. That's the one thing Cork did to us. They ran at us a pace and they caused us a lot of trouble. And look, goals win matches. But I do think that the Friday night, in a couple of weeks' time, there won't be much between these two boys. But we have a big step to take on this Thursday night, because Limerick are after coming out of the other side and they're after winning this 4 or 5 games and taking this Kerry team up to Newcastle West. It'll be no easy feat up there. So
The Limerick game, and we look at that, of course, they lost their first game to Tip, but they've won their last three, including beating Tip again the last night, and a great deal of resilience. I mean, they got the winning goal 2 minutes from time, Darragh Hogan's fantastic strike as well, and it was the first time since 1956 that they won any bit of silverware, so this is a shot to nothing for Limerick football.
Definitely, and they'll relish Kerry coming up to Newcastle West as well. Now, that would be probably the home of football up there around Newcastle West. There'll be a big Limerick crowd there. And as far as I know, Limerick were missing one of their better players the last day. I don't know, would he be back for Kerry, for the Kerry game? But, yeah, look, that's going to be a big step now for Kerry. If they can get over that there in the Munster final, you know, it gives you another two games after that. Then you know, you're nearly guaranteed an All-Ireland quarter final, really, Donald, if they get over Thursday night.
Yeah.
Win or lose the Munster final. But you know, getting back to the Cork and Kerry game, I think, like I said, Kerry will learn a lot from it. You know, we have a guy inside, Paddy Lane. All the listeners there would know him well. Very good footballer. Kind of starved him in the second half. I know that we couldn't get the ball into him, or is it just the way that we weren't winning enough a ball and we struggled to get it into him? But if Kerry can work out small things like that, tighten up defensively, I think there'll be a big difference come Munster final. Hopefully, if we can get over the line on Thursday night.
Fair play, sure. You're finishing up that segment very well, because we have to race to the races in a second. Come here, we better wish Mr. Kennedy, bonne chance or something. He's not in Kerry, I heard.
Is he? No, he's probably inside. He was inside the race on a nice evening this evening with the suit on.
I couldn't see John Kennedy dressed up at races. I'd say he'd be dressed up somewhere else, all right. No, he's as far as I know, he's gone off for a romantic weekend or something. But he'll be back in. We have a quick minute. Kerry versus Mayo, of course, next week. And I suppose, look, there's going to be a massive crowd, and I suppose to get in early and get parking and all the usual things that come with
exactly.
It. How big a game is this for Jack O'Connor?
This is a big game for Jack O'Connor. It's a big game for Mayo as well. I was listening to a couple of interviews from the Mayo camp, and they're really coming down and looking to win this. And look, I know there's three out of the group that qualify, but there's a carrot at the end of this, and you saw the games the weekend, you know, especially Armagh and Derry. If you top the group, you've got a quarter final at home, and I think that's a big advantage. And I think this game is probably the big game of the group. So both teams will go hell for leather for it. It won't be the end and be all if you lose it, but at the same time, both teams will go for broke here.
And of course, you look, anything other than a Kerry win would be a shock, would it?
Well, it would. Look, we're hard to beat in Killarney, and I often said if we had All Ireland played in Killarney, we'd probably have another 7 or 8 All Ireland. So yeah, home venue will mean a lot. It's a big Kerry crowd, even though Mayo travel well crowd wide as well, will give for a great atmosphere. Big day in Killarney. I think Killarney will be packed to the rafters from Friday evening on. So it's nice to have a home game where we don't have to travel too far, Donald, for a big atmosphere. And hopefully we'll be talking Monday night, and we'll be praising our Kerry forwards instead of picking out all the bad things.
Absolutely, and you'll be back from Corns next Monday night to us, and hopefully Mr. Kennedy back from his European trip, he'll be back as well. Listen, thanks very much, Liam. We'll leave it there, and we'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
No, delighted to be back on line. Here we go. Now, Little Ireland have announced the 26 clubs participating in the 2023 One Good Club Youth Mental Health Awareness Programme. And one club here in Kerry, Ratmore LGFA, are participating in it for national status, I suppose, as well. And of course, it's a huge programme. It's national, it's rolled out the whole lot. And delighted to be joined here in studio by Jodie O'Sullivan, the chairperson of the club. Jodie, it sounds like there's an awful lot going on, and it's a 10-week programme. You're really moving fairly quickly through it.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me on, Donal. We've had a very busy 10 weeks. There's been 5 different steps to it in association with Jigsaw Ireland. It's about promoting youth mental health. So yeah, we had 5 activities throughout the whole 10 weeks. It's about involving the community, really. And I must say, Ratmore community got behind us every step of the way. I'll just name out quickly what our stages were. Be active, which is vital to any mental health, both physically and mentally. So we had a run, we swam in February. It was great fun, really. Then we had Connect. It's about connecting club with county. So we went up to the National League final with the girls. It was a great win for them. Then we had Keep Learning. So we had a Mental Health Matters talk just gone there on Thursday, and we had Joanna Reardon and Shane Ryan. So it was great. I mean, it really has did numbers for, great things for the club, really, in Ratmore. So yeah, so we're delighted to be part of it, really. Do you know, I suppose it has kind of created a positive thing for the club, and it's kind of, you know, it's given us new life, really. Mm-hmm. And that's really why we entered it this year, really, just to create.
And of course there's huge benefits out of it anyway. I mean, I suppose people enter these competitions and they see, if we do this we'll get such a thing, but obviously you're getting far more out of it.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know, at the start it was it was a competition, it is a competition, do you know, but as we said, like, going through the steps, it actually has did more for the club than anything, and I suppose for ourselves too. Like, we have a new committee this year, it's my first year in as chairperson, so I suppose even just the organising, the meeting, I mean, it's great. It's do you know, it's educating us, really, do you know, about mental health and about where to go. And I suppose the aim of it really is to get the word out there, to spread positivity, do you know, give the players a place, you know, that they can always come to us if they need anything. And I suppose it's kind of educating people on where to go, in a sense that, like, we've been in contact with Jigsaw Care throughout this whole process, and do you know, we've linked in with them, and if people ever need their support, they know that that's a good place to go. It goes from ages 12 to 25 is who they look after and support. So yeah we're great, you know, we're delighted to be part of it, really, this year.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I suppose just people listening this evening, they know the great work that Jigsaw does, and I suppose that more and more people becoming, I suppose, aware of the supports that are there for, I suppose, mental health. In, I won't say in the old days, but in the older days, people kind of closed up shop and kind of was a family matter or whatever it is.
Yes.
But now people are discuss it more and a whole lot. Your own family as well has been touched by this?
Yeah. I suppose that's kind of the reason I actually entered it, really. First day, you know, I thought, like, you know, going back a couple of years ago when I was 17, my brother died from mental health problems, and I suppose at the time I could see that the club got behind me, you know. I suppose the encouragement, support that was given to me, and I suppose I was a player and I was training underage at the time, so, like, I was heavily involved in the GAA, really. And I suppose, you know, as we said, like, the GAA is not just about football, really. Do you know, there's unended friendship there, really. You know, it's a place to go to connect with people. And I suppose that's what we wanted to show, you know, in this whole process of our 10 weeks, that it's about, I suppose, connecting with people, getting the support from the people. And I suppose just that, you know, crazy awareness, really. It's not such a taboo subject anymore, you know, and that's what
Which
we need to get rid of.
It?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we need to just, you know, be more open, you know, and that's the way forward, really, for this, you know, for mental health. So yeah, I think you know, as a club, we're really proud.
Yeah.
What we did, really, we worked really hard throughout the 10 weeks. So yeah, we just, you know, at the end of it all, we're just happy that we entered it. We got a lot out of it ourselves.
Because you've done it for 10 weeks, it doesn't mean that at the end of the 10 weeks you stop. Now you've educated yourselves probably far more, and the community is more educated. And do you know, there's people out there tonight that, you know, mightn't have known where to go, but because of this and because of your 10 weeks and even the Be Active week and the whole lot. Do you feel that more people are kind of maybe sucking themselves back into the club now again as volunteers?
Definitely.
And they might give you
No, even for our seniors, like I played myself, we have had a few senior players come back in just from coming to our activities. It's drawn them back, you know, it's created a sense of fun, really, for the club. We even had in one of ours was activity, we had a bear running around loose around Ratmore.
I saw the bear running around.
Yes. And you know, that created a sense of fun, and it was going on for 2 weeks, and everyone was just asking, what's this about? And that's what we wanted. It's all about fun at the end of the day. And do you know, just that, you know, being within the football, yes, there's football, but you know, you can have other sides of football too. It's about just...
And
yeah.
Of course, Ratmore, I mean, I know, because I know small people live football, but Ratmore, you're not there today or yesterday. You're close on 30 years now, are you?
30 years, yeah. This year in 1993, it was founded. So yeah, we had a big day there, our 30 year anniversary, you know. But yes, Nora O'Connor at the time, who you know well, her.
She's
and
busy
if you
washing clothes tonight.
I'd say she's listening to this now tonight. But she found it, and you know it's gone from strength to strength. Really, there's a great community out there in Ratmore. Like even if we look around, as it was one of our activities there as well. We have great mental health services out in Ratmore, and we're very proud of where we come from, really. And I suppose this all, you know, is connected, you know. It really has done wonders for the club. We're just, you know, everyone has been delighted to be part of it, and I'd like to thank the community that got behind us, you know. So, yeah.
You're going well, Jodie. I mean, you're free for the next hour. You can nearly run the rest of Terrace Talk to where you're going.
No, I let you back to the races, I think.
Oh, the races. Yeah. Come here, speak to me about the club, because we've about 2 minutes left. The importance of belonging to something, the importance of belonging to a club. You belong to Ratmore. What does that mean? Where would you be if there was no Ratmore LGFA? In 93, when we won the All-Ireland,
I played with the club since I was like 10 or 11. There's different areas. You can be a trainer, a player, and like even a supporter, just to be involved in it alone. It provides you with, you know, a sense of connection to the club. So I suppose, where would I be? I don't know. Would I be involved in something else? Maybe. But I just think that just supports everyone, you know, the club, and it's not just about football. It's about being connected, and provides with friendship, a place to go, you know. And yeah, I suppose, yeah, that's kind of that is Ratmore. Like it's a great club.
It is a great club. I mean, 30 years. I mean, and not all those years very successful either. Sometimes no. The most successful was putting the team out and flying the flag.
And I must say, our seniors are playing tonight, and the best luck to them. They're playing Crokes. But yeah, it's hard to keep things going, you know, and you do need to breathe new life into it. And I suppose that's what has done for us. This Little's One Good Club has did that for us this year. So yeah.
But fair play to you, listen, and we wish you the very best of luck. We'll have our fingers crossed maybe at the end of it.
Yes.
Win or lose, you're still massive winners. I mean, you're doing a great job there in increasing the awareness and, I suppose, the knowledge of mental health. And that's what it's about as well. And it's like you said as well, I mean, it's not a taboo subject anymore, which is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And look, thanks very much for sharing that story with us this evening. And the very best of luck. Nora, if you're listening now, you can turn off now. You know, we're not talking about Ratmore anymore after this. Otherwise, she's over the Crokes game. Hopefully not on the sideline. Yes. But listen, you've been great supporters of ladies football throughout the years, and it is a great club, and you're up there on the border with Cork keeping them out as well, which is
can I just say a quick hello to people at home? Yeah, just to my kids and Nana, my two Nanas, and just say thanks really for
where were you up with Nana?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. We wouldn't be here anyway.
We all need a good Nana. We'll take a break.
Breaking down the weekend sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now, massive congratulations to our Kerry Rugby Senior Ladies team. Do you remember we had them in there a couple of weeks ago, and they were looking, they had one cup got, they were looking to win a second one, and you're right, you know, we thought we'd never again see them, but lo and what, they won their game, they're back in again tonight, and here we are again. This is like take two, but this time it's take two with two cups, and delighted to be joined again by new face Lydia Neary, Ashley Sheehy, she's a new face as well, Ruth Murphy, she's been there a good few times, Leisha Driscoll is across the table from me again, and Tigger is back in action again with a very nice green top on tonight. Fair play to you. You're dressed tonight for it?
Oh yeah, tight and bright.
Good stuff. Come here to me. When we were talking about the game 2 weeks ago, we were building up, and I suppose there was a great atmosphere and there was a great buzz, and I suppose, you know, you often wonder, can you convert that to actually winning a game? We were talking about UL Bowes and we were saying what a massive challenge. 26-24. My God, that's some game.
Yeah, I suppose none of us here probably really know how good it was because we were all stuck in it. But
you're on the sideline. You're watching. I mean, they're playing it.
Yeah, they gave a really good account of themselves from the start. Like the first play was a catch. One of the Bowes girls caught the ball, and Emily O'Regan put in a big tackle, and you could just hear the crowd then going crazy. So that started the day off. Our first half was incredible. Second half we dipped a bit halfway through the second half, and then we got back to our senses and you know, finished off the game well. So we did well. We did really, really well. Wasn't our best performance, but that's a good thing as well. You know, we know there's more in us, so the next time for the next season there's more that we can build on as well, like, you know.
Yeah, Root, seasons are kind of managed on different targets. Some people say performances are great all the way through, some will say we got new players and all that. You've got two cups. I mean, two cups, that certainly is a good
emphasis. Achievement, absolutely fantastic. Yeah, we've a very small squad this year, so the girls gave 110% and you couldn't ask for any more. They really put it in. They worked hard at training. They did their own fitness outside of training as well. Lots of them were driving from Limerick, Cork, to make training sessions, like straight from work and school. So, do you know, all credit to them. They were just outstanding.
Mm-hmm. And the day itself was special because you made an occasion. I mean, you had your coffee morning, you brought in your supporters. How did that go for you, Ruth?
It's absolutely fantastic. We made
855, something like that.
That's a lot of cakes, isn't it?
Yeah, brilliant for just an hour of it. And Mary Gardner took charge along with Adele Cohen and people at the club as well. So it was massive. So hopefully we'll get the money off Mary Gardner so we can give it to them. She's minding money, no better woman.
Been here doing Crime Watch or something some afternoon. Leisha, you were on the field, you were playing the whole lot, and of course you've played in an awful lot of these big games and the whole lot. It's about the result probably at the end of the day, but the performance itself with your teammates on the day, how would you gauge that for us?
Yeah, I think, like, I suppose our kind of buzzword for the day was kind of to keep things calm. So, you know, to broaden that out, it was kind of just all about composure, really, because we came out and we knew we had to give Bowes like a certain level of respect for sure, but we had to let them know that they were also on our home turf as well, and that, you know, whatever was going to happen, it wasn't going to be an easy game for them. So, but like, calm was the buzzword of the day, and I think we definitely brought that in spades. And it was, I suppose, what we talked about the last time, it was about that kind of belief and trust in each other that we had, and that we knew that, you know, I'm going to do my job, but you better be sure that the girl next to me is doing hers as well. And that gives you such reassurance, you know, for the next phase and for the next ball and stuff like that. Like, so it was the performance that we wanted, the performance that we needed, and thankfully we have two cups to show for it. So
It's huge. Ashley Sheehy, new face, your memories of the game will probably be different in a couple of years' time, but the actual game itself, getting out on the field, knowing that there was something incredibly important to win, do you build up butterflies before the game starts? I know she was on about, you know, the buzzword of what, stay calm or stay in focus, whatever, but there must be a bit of, like,
I spent most of my warm up in with physio, so I didn't in with Lee
Morrigan. You're one of those players, are you?
No, Lee Morrigan's lovely. He was giving me a rub out or something like football day before, but I actually missed most warm up. But like that, we have our routines. I guess everyone comes into the dressing room and we have our chats. You have to give us time for our chats. Tigger always puts a time on it, but he knows we'll be out 15 minutes later because we're catching up with everyone. And we have everyone has their kind of spot in the dressing room, and it's just chilled out all morning. And mom here beside me, Ruth, keeps us going and make sure we have everything we need, and we go through the motions. We come down, put on our jerseys, and we have our team talk, and we go back up and we play the game and hopefully win.
So it's gas that you talk about, because I suppose we look at it and we'll say it's kind of at the amateur level and down here, but you approach it totally professionally. I mean, even the way that everybody sits in their own corner of the dressing room, that you have your time, you have your routine. Mr. Manager here has his set time for the speaking and the whole lot. That kind of probably builds that level of professionalism about what you're doing, and it gives you, I suppose, the empowerment to say, we're doing a really serious job here. This isn't fun at all, even though obviously it's fun and everybody's excited, but you're focused on the game in hand, aren't you?
Yes, we are. Everyone has their own little routines. Like, some people will be quieter, some people will be like catching up with other people they hadn't seen in a long time. I feel like if we made it more panicked, we'd be panicked. Again, Leisha was saying our buzzword on the day was calm. But everyone does their own thing and you let them do it, and that's the best way that they prepare.
Mm-hmm. The calmest person here is Lydia Neary. I mean, arms folded, no bother. You've been here 100 times before, Lydia. How important was it for the final whistle to go, and what are your memories of that?
Well, I'd say we made it pretty tough on ourselves at the end there. I hold my hand up and say I think I gave away about four or five penalties in a row.
Right, were they good ones to give away now, or were they silly ones?
God, I don't even, you'd think I'd never played before. Oh gosh, yeah. But it was, I think it was kind of made it even more incredible that we did manage to hold off the onslaught that Bowes tried to capitalize on, the fact that we were kind of flagging a little bit, as Tigger said, and that's what made it such a great match, was that actually it did come down to the last whistle. And I think we said this a few times, and it wasn't any knock on ourselves, but we could not believe we won, because it was just so, it was so intense, and they were throwing everything they had at us, and then our goal line defense at the end was absolutely unreal. Every single person on the team, I think, stepped up and made a massive hit and knocked them back, and then we just managed to stay calm and stay within our structure and play to our strengths, and we came away with it. It was absolutely unreal.
Tigger, those kind of games, you know, that you think you should be doing better, and then all of a sudden something goes wrong and the momentum switches and the other team have it and they're down your goal line and they're pushing in. Do you know that your team have the ability to hang in or tough it out or win those tackles or get around the ruck and make sure they're in the right place? All that, I presume, comes off the training ground as well.
All comes off the training ground. We do rucking and we do tackling nearly every training session, and we got a great guy in there for the second last session, Eugene McCarthy. He's a coach at Munster and he came down for a bit to do a session, but it's basically the attitude of the player, it's the attitude of the team. They back each other, and finally they backed each other to beat somebody like Boz, who on the day had the Irish captain, the Munster captain of last season, the number nine played for Ireland, the back row played for Munster, so they had three Munster players and an Irish player,
some of their first teams players as well,
and some of their first teams players. So it was like, to all of, like, to anybody on the outside, we shouldn't have won that game. There was nobody outside of us to probably believe that we were going to win the game, but thankfully we'd all worked on it, and with the belief in the team is fairly strong that we could do it, like, you know.
That's fantastic. Of course, like you said, it is about belief. Now we're joined here, of course, by the Kerry Rugby Senior Ladies team, along with Tigger and Ruth. Ruth, where's the club now? I mean, you've got your two cups, you've been hanging around for the last couple of years. When did you fly the flag the first time? You're not the oldest club in Kerry, are you?
No, we're not.
So this success is incredible, useful, considering that you're not the oldest club, that you haven't been there, and I suppose over the space of, I suppose, a limited amount of time. Are you there from day one, Leisha? Mm-hmm.
Oh, day one of the Kerry setup, yeah.
Super.
Yeah. So the Kerry setup isn't a club, it's the team, but we're still under the guideline of Tralee Rugby Club.
All right. That's far too scientific for me now. Well, wearing the Kerry one, and you're there from day one playing with the team. Chart the success of where we've gone from the very first training session to here.
It's been undulating, I would say, if there was a word I would give it.
It's a real South Kerry word. It's about mountains. Yes. My van doesn't know what you're on about.
No,
so.
I don't. Yeah, Flatland.
The Pride Land.
If it was about cows, I'd know. But it was up and down. Like, I think when initially the Kerry structure came in, I mean, we had kind of a lot of players at training, and it got off to a really, really good start. And then I suppose COVID had a lot to do with it as well, like, kind of players are kind of like dropping off, and, you know, players moving away and things like that. Like, so with the intent, it started off with like just the best of intentions, of course, and but this is the first time we've actually won silverware. And, you know, I think the last 2 years previously we had some coaching in as well, and, you know, again, for whatever reason, I think it was just timing, and it was just maybe just the numbers that we had at training, and I think this is all built on those years as well, but, you know, it just thankfully it all kind of came together this year, so it's been a culmination of all that, and undulating.
Such a great
years
word
in the making.
Tigger, speaking of undulating, we don't want to undulate anymore now. We've got two cups, we're going this direction now. What can this do to build the team, the players, next year's role? Does next year's role become a lot tougher for you now, because you have something now in your hands and people will want more of it?
I don't think it becomes tougher, it becomes more interesting.
Okay.
Just trying to put more structures in place and stuff like that, but hopefully these two cups and the game that we played, there's a good vibe around people that I've talked to about the game the last day, and most of the games we played, will get more people, more women up to try it out. There might be past players there that might want to give it a shot. You might have players playing football, inter-county football or anything, that might be retiring and want to go, oh, I retire from football, but I might give rugby a go, you know. So hopefully it'll grow our numbers, which will then help us get better, you know, and to, you know, push ourselves up, that we are competing with the likes of Bose all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they're worried about coming to us all the time, you know. But the women's rugby game is getting very, very healthy at the moment, with the Munster team. We had a couple of girls from your neck of the wood down in Ivra play Munster Sevens this on Saturday, up in the HPC Centre up in Dublin. So it's getting strong, and we just want to try and build the women's squad up, get our numbers up. We'd love to have, geez, if we had 22, wouldn't it be great?
Stop.
Do you know?
It sounds like not that many. 22. Lydia, when you walked off the field the last day, I mean, obviously there's huge celebrations, and it means everything for different people, and I suppose some people are celebrating with their family and their friends, and some have more supporters than others. What's it mean to you to be part of this community?
Well, I'm a new arrival. I don't know if my accent gives it away, but I'm not from
not so curious.
So yeah, my family and I have just moved here. We were originally in London, and it means a lot actually to come into a club like this. That's such a community and such a family. That's the word we always use in rugby. Is you have a default family when you turn up to training. There's a bunch of people who, you know, will put their body on the line for you on the match day, so why wouldn't they, you know, come and help search out if you were moving or whatever? Not that I'll need help moving.
Right, okay.
Babysitters.
Yeah,
the rest of the team be
exactly.
Warned. She's yeah. Looking for help.
But yeah, it was a really incredible atmosphere as well to see the nature of the sport on the sidelines. There was a ton of people, ton of families, ton of friends, and a lot of young ones watching us, which I think was huge, because for them to see that standard of play and see that, you know, that's what they can aspire to, and then sure that they're only up the road, like they can come to our training sessions, they can watch, we can come to them and demonstrate things like it was really, really impressive to see that community kind of rally around it, because, you know, that's one of the things you struggle with women's rugby is people don't know about it, and then when they come and watch and they think that was class, that was so good, I had so many people come up and say, wow, what a standard for you guys to be playing at and to be playing such a good opponent and
absolutely.
Put on such a show.
And Ashley, did news of your stardom get to my van?
It is, yeah.
Before you got home, like.
Yeah, but my parents were there. But it's great to see our presence in, like, the newspapers and stuff, because I teach here in a town in a school in town, in the presentation secretary. So, like, for the girls to see someone playing rugby, and even at that, to see some of my students they're supporting and other people connected to community, it's great to see. And like Tigger was saying, to build the rugby, like, we have girls coming from all parts of Kerry, all parts of Cork, all parts of Limerick. So, like, the barrier there is in distance, because there's someone coming that way anyway, like, mm-hmm. Hop into the car. But even to build it in school, Tigger does a lot of work with Munster Rugby in school. He's coming into our school. We have our first set of rugby jerseys in Prez. We're the only school that has a rugby team at the moment, but we'd love to get, like, the other schools, like down Ivor, they're brilliant. Some schools in Killarney are brilliant as well. But if we could build into the schools, and then they feed into the clubs, and then we're all off we go. We're all playing rugby around the county.
We might have 22.
We might have 22. We might go on a trip to Canada. And then Emily O'Regan was saying to go to South Africa as well after Munster's win would be great. But like that, it's all about building. It's about getting people involved, like the young girls that were there supporting us, because some of my students are training with us, and it's great, like we have a great relationship. But it's to get like anyone involved, like if they can play like camogie, they're used to sticks, like just bring them on, they're tough as nails, like football, they're tough as nails. If you can run with a ball in your hands, you can play rugby. And this is why I say to the students, I'm like, can you run with a ball in your hands? They're like, yeah, I can. I'm like, come on then. Do you know, it's all about building. We need to get people involved. 22 is the magic number, but if we can get higher than that, that's great.
Higher, we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Well, look, 22 is the magic number for us as well, because we have to leave at 7:22 for the break, so well done. Come here, guys. Listen, congratulations, first of all. Very well done. Ruth, when are you booking in for next year?
This time next year, we'll have the three cups.
Yeah,
we'll
have the
divisional
the treble,
cup,
yeah.
We'll have the division one, and we'll have the league.
Yeah.
Will you bring all 22 into us?
And all 22 girls will be in.
The can't see anyone here again, sure.
You know it.
She got her own seat and chair and everything. Tigger, you'll be getting more money for it next year, will you?
Yeah. Well, and the other thing then, there's tag going to be on in the rugby club. So the summer might be great for women to come up and try a non-contact rugby.
Super. And we can check a Facebook page or something for that. We'll put it up and find out. No contact, just tag, which is great too, in fairness. Guys, thanks very much. It was great fun having you on again.
Thanks,
fantastic to bring in the cups. We must get the photograph for Ivan to be giving out. And we'll take a break now.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
And now back over to Tralee, and we're going to be changing from rugby to soccer now. Ballyhard Dynamos, a small club in East Kerry, I suppose. That's where we are, Gerry, is it?
Yes, Mid-East Kerry.
Mid-East Kerry. So that's where we are. So that's what we're talking about. And they're teaming up with the Kerry Recreation Sports Partnership and the FAI Ireland, of course, to launch Kick Fit Women's Social Soccer at Ballyhard Dynamos. And on to tell us a little bit more, Gerry, as we've heard already of Ballyhard Dynamos, Maeve Ryan of Kerry Recreation and Sports Partnership, and Ramona Keogh Birchall of basically everything else to do with soccer in this county. And I'm delighted to have you all on board for the next couple of minutes, running up to 8 o'clock to discuss this. Now, Gerry, first of all, before we ever get into the programme, the whole lot, tell us a little bit about Ballyhard Dynamos. There's fellas at home tonight now saying, I remember them from 1970 and they were tough and they were this, and they're still around, and you're still around the place. And of course, you've grown into a massive kind of rural club now, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Our club was founded in 1975 and has been growing ever since. I suppose since the population explosion, really, out in Fieries around the boom times, you know, people in the parish, the numbers grew hugely, and that's fed into the clubs now and the school as well. And now you see a club with over 225 underage players registered, you know, with teams from, well, all the way up from under six all the way under to 17s, and then the senior team are in the Premier B at the moment. And you know, the club has won a few trophies over the years, and that's where we're hoping to keep going and get a few more under our belt in the next couple of years.
I mean, very modest, won a few trophies over the years. Huh? You've often stopped good teams from winning trophies.
That's it, it's all the part to play in it.
Maeve, you're very welcome to the show. Of course, you're representing Kerry Recreational Sports Partnership, the very KRSP team that I always get tripped up over. The aim of the programme, first of all, maybe we'll tell our listeners what the aim of the programme is, and why is there a need for this programme?
Hi Donald, thanks a million for having me here. Yeah, look, the aim is for it's a social women's soccer programme, really. So the idea being that we offer a social environment for women over the age of 18, just to meet each other, get fit, have a camaraderie and a spirit, I suppose, really. There's lots of focus now on women in sport, and Sport Ireland are you know, they have a women in sport policy, so I suppose it's incumbent on sports partnerships at a local level to really roll out programmes to try and get women active in all facets of sport, and soccer is just one of the sports that we're looking to do that. So and to be fair, we're building on success that we've had last year. We rolled out a programme in Tralee, Maestricheagha and Dingle, so we're delighted and excited about rolling something out now in Ballyhard Dynamos, which is great. Yeah,
absolutely. Ramon, it's great to see the growth of a programme, because sometimes you run a programme and you don't know if there's going to be a second one or a third one, but now you're on number four and you're moving along. There must be massive positive feedback from the previous ones that we've done, and some great learnings as well along the way.
Yeah, definitely. The interest grew, and the more people talked about it, the mums were getting out of the cars instead of dropping the kids and, you know, sitting back watching. So now the kids are actually out watching their mums or their aunts, and the programme's been very exciting. It's been a huge success, and, you know, I think the partnership with Kerry Local Sports Partnership, you know, they've done everything behind to get involved and push it out there, and the process has just, it's grown throughout the county. You look at Tralee, it was a great success, the second one in Tralee, and Maestricheagha, then down to Dingle, huge numbers, and Ballyhard, a club that I've always known so well and grown up with, and the people involved, you know, it's great to go out there and see some of the girls that I went to school with and some of the girls that I played soccer against that are now moms, and I see them on the sideline week in, week out. So it's great now to go out and work with the ladies and coach them, and it's a fun football fitness programme, and it's just good banter, good fun, and it's a great way then for, you know, everyone involved to get back involved with Ballyhard, and they'll come a stage kind of like on week five, week six, that Ballyhard will see the growth of it, and you can be sure they'll want to continue it in a club environment and club setting then.
Yeah, I remember being in a house in Kilcoman not that long ago, and we were all having tea and someone says, I'm going out playing soccer, and the kid says, Mom, you don't play soccer. And she says, I do tonight. And I mean, it was part of that programme. And you know, it's just that involvement as well and getting people back. Jerry, I suppose we touched on women in sport, and it's something that I suppose all clubs and all sports are trying to improve and get better at. But you have a very vibrant ladies section, particularly at the younger age, flying over there.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose we've always had girls playing in the club, but usually on boys' teams. And I suppose this year was the first year where we kind of made a concerted effort to try and start up the girls' game in the club properly. My own daughter was playing with the boys, and she brought one or two of her friends. And before you know it, there was six or seven of them. And we only needed nine for a team. So we put out the feelers, and the girls came in droves. And then we started with the under sixes, under sevens, eights, nines, tens, and all the way up to 12s at the moment. And the girls' under 12 team just qualified on Friday for the Shield final, so very excited about that. It'll be a big day for them as well.
Big hello to all them tonight.
Oh, absolutely. A shout out to all the under 12 girls.
Absolutely.
A bit early.
Hopefully they'll listen to Terrace Talk. Come here, from the point of view, Maeve, of I suppose the Recreational Sports Partnership, how important is it, I suppose, to support projects like this and programmes like that? I mean, you're obviously spreading your own wings across the county in various different sectors as well. But I mean, this is a big, big win one, isn't it? Because I mean, people, particularly women, want to get reconnected, I suppose, back into a sport that they might have played, might never have played, might have seen their friends play. And it's through that kind of social bubble that you're bringing them in as well. So it's not as if that it's a pathway to the Irish national team. But I mean, it's probably even bigger than that in a sense, because I mean, it's getting people out of houses, getting people more reconnected, and it's great to have that kind of bit of crack and banter and the whole, I suppose it gels it together. But from your perspective, I suppose, with the sports partnership, it's great to be seen with this as well.
Absolutely, it's huge, and we get to spread it around the county, which is our aim. We're a county wide base, not Tralee or Killarney, so it's important for us that we
it
get
is Kerry, of course, isn't it?
Yes, oh, exactly, it is Kerry.
Nice jacket as
yes,
well tonight.
Thank you very much. No, it's huge, and I think the partnership as well is very important. Like we partner up as well with the clubs, and also with Ramona and FAI and Chelsea Noonan, the development officer there. So it's huge, and it's a collaborative approach, and I think that's hugely important. And I think, you know, it's I suppose it's similar to the Gaelic football, mothers and others. It's something similar. We want to really promote the enjoyment of the game. That's why we as Ramona alluded to earlier, it's the crack, it's the social cup of tea after, you know, the 6 weeks are up. It's the t-shirts that we have for the programme. So it's finding an identity, and you know, the women really seem to buy into that, which is fantastic.
And of course, you've been in Dingle, and you've been in Maestricheagha, and you've been in Tralee.
Yeah,
best cup of tea.
Tralee, I think.
Oh,
definitely.
Ballyhair Dynamo's cup of tea.
She arrives at Marscott Park now. Mm.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's it.
We're hoping the new sponsors, Cadbury, will throw a few purple snacks our way as well.
And the yellow ones as well. Yeah. Hopefully get nice yellow ones. Come here, Ramona. The nuts and bolts about the programme. I'm listening tonight. I'm kind of hooked now. I'm living close to Ballyhair, in around Killarney. Is there a parish rule on it? Can I say, oh, I'm from Killargan, this is something that I might do on a whatever evening it is?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Open to all. We welcome all ladies and to come and take part in it. Not exclusively to Parish of Fieries or Ballyhair, Farn 4. I mentioned it in my own school recently, and a couple of the teachers said they might get involved. So, you know, parents from other surrounding parishes are more than welcome to come in.
Yeah. You're building a super club, Gerry, are you?
The plan.
Secretly.
That's the plan.
Well, listen, we'll hear more about the super club, but we'll take a quick break first.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're chatting to our good friends here in Ballyhair Dynamos, and of course they're launching the Kick Fit Women's Social Soccer at Ballyhair Dynamos, and of course we've been joined by Gerry Fitzgerald of the club, Maeve Ryan of course of Kerry Recreational Sports Partnership, and Ramona Keogh, FAI Ireland.
Yeah,
that I is very close. And yeah. I in Ireland, FAI Ireland. Super. But Ramona, before we went to the break, we were talking about the programme and the nuts and bolts of the programme. Did you run over a couple of nights? Tell somebody at home how to get join.
So it's out an event right now for registration. Just fill in your details. And on the night, we'll just do a meet and greet in advance of before we get starting. There's a fantastic AstroTurf out in Ballyhair, beautiful AstroTurf. So if you don't have football boots, come in your runners, very comfortable. These beautiful kid tops are going to be sponsored by Kerry Recreation and Sports Partnership. They'll be handed out
tonight. That'd be as nice as Maeve's jacket, will they?
She's selling that tonight. But it's really welcoming. It's 8 to 9, plenty of time to get the kids home, homework, dinner, get everything done and run out the door. And the logistics of where we went with that time is it's a comfortable time in the evening to get out. The six and sevens are a little bit tight with kids coming home and from work and everything else. And for the participants on the night, if you've never kicked a ball in your life, if it's your first time out, if you've actually played competitively and a bit like me, have taken a few injuries and knocks over the years and just feel you're not at the competitive edge that you can go back to a team setting. Me, I'm not a gym person. I'm kind of getting into it, but I love the outdoors as well. So it ticks all the boxes for everyone, and we've a lot of players who actually played growing up, gave it up, and are actually coming back. And of course, mums, aunts, whomever is related, you don't have to be a member of the club. Please go down the road, you will become one, because the interest will grow. And what we've actually seen in the growth and development of this project over the last year, we've seen a lot of people come into the club setting because they've enjoyed the experience so much. And it's great credit to St. Brendan's Park in Tralee, Dingle Bay Rovers, Master Gaeha. And it's fantastic to see the numbers, and that's the potential and the excitement that comes with Ballyhar when the programme is handed over after 6 weeks. So every Wednesday night, 8 to 9, and registration, just check out the social media links on Ballyhar, Kerry Recreational Sports Partnership, and any questions, just get in touch.
Mm-hmm. Come here, I'm sitting at home tonight now, and you've drawn me in, you know, the great Astra pitch and 8 to 9, great timing. But I'm sitting home and saying, God, you know, I'm not the fittest person in Ireland. I'm kind of shy about going to things like this. I mightn't necessarily want to go on my own. I mean, what would you say to a couple of people like that?
Just come down, talk to us, see what it's about. We'll have a cup of tea, chat. It's very welcoming. It's very relaxed. There is fitness and there's football fitness. So it's not going to be running laps. It's not going to be straight into football drills. It's a very relaxed environment. You won't see ball kicked until about 30 minutes into it. And it's not competitive. It doesn't become competitive. But after a few weeks, then you might see
the
people...
Competitive who, people, yeah, become competitive.
You might see people who actually are enjoying that side of it. It's a nice light kick around. And it's structured in an environment that, you know, if your child, you know, if something's happened at home and something has to be cancelled, don't not go. Bring your child with us. We were down in many nights in Dingle, Tralee, Master Gaeha, that the kids are on the sideline doing their homework or they're having a bit of pizza or something. It's in a lovely, welcoming environment, and Ballyhar have done a fantastic job so far in pushing everything together and with Maeve. So come along, meet the people of the club, meet Maeve, Kerry Recreational Sports Partnership. And actually, a lot of the girls have gone into different programmes then after the soccer programmes with Kerry Recreational Sports Partnership. So it's fantastic.
Yeah, they're a busy game.
Very exciting. Yep.
Jerry, of course, we'll have the best cup of tea in Ireland there as well, of course, if you're for any other reason to come. Come here, how important is it for your own club to be involved in something like this? I mean, I imagine it gives you a little bit more greater status or the whole lot, but I mean, you're opening your own door as such to people who may or may not have been members in the past, who may or may not have played soccer in the past. I mean, it must be hugely exciting for the club to take on a programme like this too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ballyhar Dynamos is a great club. It's based in a lovely part of the county, you know, great community spirit. You know, we've had great sponsorship from local organisations and shops and people who are helping the club out, and the numbers are growing greatly. So for a club to be able to expand into the women's game, you know, albeit in a social, you know, non-competitive aspect, that's something that we're very excited about, because there's a lot of people being dropped there, lots of older sisters, lots of moms. It's not exclusively for moms. Mm-hmm. You know, if anything from any lady from 18 up is more than welcome, and we see it as hopefully a way that the new members will come into the club and the club will grow and get stronger and stronger, and that, you know, success breeds success. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
And I suppose a lot of those people that you're talking about tonight are already in the club, bringing small Johnny or Michael to the club or the training, the whole lot. I mean, this is an extension for them, and there is something nice about the kids seeing the mother or the aunt or the next door neighbour who they know well playing a bit of soccer and there as well. So I mean, even from that perspective, I mean, it's a huge thing for your club.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you set a good example for your own children or whoever, and they see you taking part as you get older, and they'll see that, they'll want to continue playing themselves. And look, it's something we're very excited about, and we see huge potential in this. And a huge thanks again to Maeve in the Kerry Recreation Partnership, and to Ramon to have such a quality coach coming in for the first 6 weeks. And like that, hopefully the interest will be there and the club will continue then, and in some form will continue going with this into the future.
Mm-hmm. And my old buddy Des O'Connor will be delighted, for he's a mad belly hard dynamos man.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, he swore he built a dressing room himself, did he?
No comment on anything to do with that.
Fair play to you. Well, listen, Ballyhar, congratulations, because it's a great thing. Maeve, well done, because I mean, Kerry Recreational Sports Partnership, I suppose at times we forget that you're probably there. I mean, to shine a little bit more of a light there. Garrod Doherty doing great work as well. Yeah. While he isn't playing with Tralee Parnells, or is he still playing with Tralee Parnells?
He's still there with them, still turning away. In fairness, no.
Well, hopefully he wasn't listening to our very first segment, because Richard said they should be pulling up the senior now at this stage. They'll be getting new players. Ramona, congratulations, you had a very busy Saturday.
We did, you were there yourself. There was rumours that you were taking the Late Late Show gig. Yeah, Father Joe Begley announced it.
I know. In the church, can you imagine?
Yeah, my son's first Holy Communion, we were told that Donal's getting the RTE gig.
Yeah.
But yeah, busy weekend and keeping low profile, just waiting for all the Liverpool supporters just to hit me with a text message that Man United are going to off the grid. But yeah, fantastic weekend. Fair blessed with good weather.
Well, listen, Jerry, Ramona and Maeve, thanks for being with us this evening. Very best to wish the luck with the club, of course, and the whole lot. Don't get too big now, Jerry. I mean, you're big enough. I mean, you've been encroaching a lot of other clubs in a short time. This is Donal Barry, that was Terrace Talk, and we'll do it all again next week, where we'll be talking, of course, about Kerry and Mayo, and in the second hour we'll talk about Kerry Athletics.